Hi, my name is Chris Beidelman. I am the Director of Healthcare for Novell North America. I'm here today with Nick Ivan, Director of Information Systems at Clark and Daughtry Medical Group. And Nick, why don't you tell us a little bit about Clark and Daughtry as an organization, where you're located, and certainly, you know, some of the stuff you're doing down there.
We are a medium-sized physician group in Central Florida, in Lakeland, Florida. We are a multi-specialty group with 7 locations, so we cover everything from family practice, internal medicine, oncology, cardiology, urology, women's health, basically a large gamut of different services. And we have around 325 employees, around 400 computers, 100 notebooks. We are fully EMR and point of care, no paper charts, hardly any transcription services. I would say 3 years ago, we had probably 25 people in our medical charts department, you know, running charts around to all the different physician offices and so forth in different locations, and a lot of transcription services and so forth. So even in the last few years, we've made a lot of improvements in our efficiencies and just using technology. And
yeah, and certainly with the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act and high tech, they certainly are motivating people to more adoption of electronic medical records. So it sounds like you guys are well on your way of meeting all those requirements of meaningful use and some of the other things that are being out there right now.
Definitely. And we realized that we needed to, of course, become a lot more efficient even before they were putting these carrots out there and before they made these announcements of meaningful use and providing stimulus dollars and so forth. We started our electronic medical record process about 5 years ago and have really just in the last about 2.5 years ago finished all of our templates and got all our doctors doing point of care and all that kind of stuff. So it takes time, but it's a massive process, but it's well worth the effort.
Yeah. And one of the things I'm seeing in the industry, and certainly one of the reasons why we're here today, is because of this adoption of having to use a lot more computers and electronic records. And physicians once told me, I'm high touch, not high tech. Now you're forcing them to get on the computer, and you decided to go with deploying our enterprise single sign-on secure login. I know during that process, you were kind of looking at, do I do identity management or do I do single sign-on? What was sort of your organization's thought process of why'd you go with one versus the other?
Between single sign-on and IDM? When I first got to Clark and Daughtry about 8.5 years ago, we had to make a decision as to go with sort of a massive just Citrix farm. Back then, I think we had about 25 providers, so we were about half the size. Or manage all the desktops with ZenWorks. So I've always been a big proponent of Novell tools, so I implemented ZenWorks. And then my roadmap was single sign-on with biometric authentication, and then go IDM. So the reason to do this single sign-on first was because in my department, we're a small department. There's only 3 of us in IT. There's been a maximum of 4. But now we're really sitting good with 3, managing all the laptops, computers, telephony systems, you know, all the stuff that we do in IT, we're able to do very effectively with just 3 people based on all the technology that we have driving the imaging and the policies and everything else. And one of our big pain points was, you know, in the healthcare field, we use a lot of different systems. It's inherent in the business. There's not all this electronic data flowing back and forth between systems. It's just not quite a reality today. Everyone's trying to get there, but it's just not a reality. So we have a lot of our own systems. At the same time, we log into different systems of the hospital. We log into outside radiology systems or imaging companies that are in town, other clinics that are in town and so forth, and they in turn also log into our systems. In all, we have about 25 different applications that are scripted for secure login that manage that entire process for us. They could be extranets, they could be insurance companies that we have portals to, all different kinds of things. It was a major pain. So when you have that many employees and that many people of that population that can't manage their passwords or they're writing them all down, that was something that I needed to take care of. So that was more important to me than trying to sync up passwords across extranets that I have no control over anyway.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like it was sort of a physician satisfaction from the solution of they actually, you know, one of those things, if physicians are happy, everyone's happy. Have you seen that from your user group?
I think that they are actually very happy about it, but I think the staff in general is happier about it. The funny thing is, in this IT world, you hear about somebody not being happy, but you don't hear so much when they are happy.
Yeah, very
the
true.
Bottom line is, with single sign-on, if I told them it's going to go away, it would just cause a massive panic attack because people can't remember all these passwords to all these different systems. So they just take it for granted at this point.
Oh, that's good. How about you as an organization? A common benefit from single sign-on is reduction in help desk calls or, as you say, password-related things. Have you actually seen that savings of your time?
Definitely. We used to get dozens of calls every week. And since we are also managing passwords, so to speak, for outside organizations, be it the hospital or other extranet systems, and we're able to identify if they have policies that require the passwords to be sort of reset mm-hmm. or not use the same password as the last 10 times or whatever their policy happens to be. Secure Login allows us to figure out what that policy is and to make sure that the user complies. So the bottom line is, if a user forgot their password, it's always a pain to have to deal with it even on your own systems. But when I have to then go across the lines to the hospital and ask them to reset it, and then tell the user that they then have to call the hospital because they can't give it to me directly because that's policy, it's just a huge headache. So we just, all those problems are gone. It's great.
You mentioned before you're going to be doing identity management as sort of your next phase. And that should certainly help with the provisioning, deprovisioning, that zero-day start, essentially, of those users. And nice thing is you have that integration with Secure Login, so you can provision their credentials into single sign-on as well as credentials. So is that kind of the path you guys are to take here?
Yeah, definitely, because I mean, we have a process now for a new hire or a termination or changes that happen. But we still have a lot of provisioning that we have to do in all the different systems that we manage. And provisioning and working with outside entities for provisioning access and external systems. So that's the piece that still takes us time in our department in IT to get all that work done. So we do all the provisioning and all the teardown and all that kind of stuff. IDM will help me get all those users set up in all these different systems, talk to some of these outside systems, at least set up mechanisms to notify automatically for account creations or destructions and so forth, and drive that process sort of from a single point with the necessary role-based access and or quorums for other people to supervisor level OKs and that mm-hmm. kind of thing. So.
Yeah, we've seen some organizations use the workflow just for that to, again, reduce some level of effort and make them more self-sufficient. You know, that self-service is definitely going to be a key thing.
It's going to be the piece that gets me into the next piece, which is the workstation virtualization side of things. So our entire server farm is basically virtualized right now. We're about 95% virtualized. And that's just been phenomenal. You know, that's why we can have three people in IT, just three good people doing everything for an organization our size. And the identity management piece is sort of the gatekeeper, I think, to role-based virtual workstations, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely, yeah.
So
it's a big trend,
say,
I see.
Well, this, here we're setting up a user. They're going to need access to these applications. Everything flows from there. All the user credentials are provisioned everywhere. And when they go to log in, a workstation is assembled from scratch based on the needs of that user and the assigned roles and so forth. So that's the next big step.
Excellent. Now, you also have deployed strong authentication with this single sign-on solution. Could you kind of tell us a little bit about what is sort of that clinical flow that these users now experience with the Secure Login piece and the biometric authentication?
So I actually got the biometric authentication into the network piece done before I implemented and started doing all the scripting for all the different applications, because Secure Login doesn't really care what you authenticate with. I wanted the biometric because it's a good strong form of, this is typically most definitely the person that is logging into this workstation.
And what type of biometric are you guys using? Is it fingerprint?
It's fingerprint. The solution that we have in place allows us to self-enroll people. We walk them through the process of self-enrolling at least three fingers. And we also have about 100 tablets, which have a different hardware device, different fingerprint reader on that device. But the platform that we're on allows us to go back and forth between different hardware readers and still use the same fingerprint algorithm, if you would, to verify the fingerprint. It's been a pretty flexible solution for us. The experience is that the user logs into the workstation. They have to put their user ID, and then they hit enter, and it asks them for their fingerprint, and they put one of their enrolled fingerprints on the reader, or they slide their thumb typically on the laptop reader, and it logs them in. And then from there on out, any application that they access that requires credentials, it just logs them in.
Now, do you also have some shared workstations where you have multiple people using a workstation that they have to quickly log in and out? That seems to be pretty popular, not so much in your medical setting, maybe in a healthcare provider or a hospital, but it sounds like you might have that same sort of situation. You have shared workstations.
We do. We have a few areas where, just because of the nature of that area, there are more people than computers that are available, especially in our radiology center. And Secure Login comes with a product called DAS, Desktop Automation Service, and it allows for very fast user switching. So I can walk up to the workstation, log in, verify with my fingerprint, my desktop appears in about 2 seconds. I can do my work, and then when I'm ready to leave, I just double-click on an icon, and it comes back up with another login screen in about 2 seconds. So it works very well.
Because, that time it takes for somebody to actually log in, and we all know how long it takes for a Windows workstation to boot up. So we've seen a lot of hospitals deploy that. Did you look at a lot of other single sign-on vendors, and why did you select Secure Login as your single sign-on solution?
I wanted tight integration with my directory services, and the eDirectory, I've been using it a long time, ever since version 3, and it's a very mature product, and I really wanted that very tight integration, and I didn't want an appliance mode. The Secure Login product gives you a lot of versatility, so we looked at a few other solutions.
And some of the appliance-based ones, too.
Yeah, the appliance-based ones. Mm-hmm. We can name names if you want, it doesn't matter. But they weren't as flexible. And to get into where you really need to go to try and figure out how to do some of the things you needed to do, not all the tools were there. But the Secure Login product, it's everything you need to do, basically, and it's so tightly integrated into your directory tree for developing roles or assigning groups or all the different things that you might need to do. It gave me all of the power and flexibility I needed with very tight integration. That's what I was looking for.
Oh, that's excellent. So Secure Login, you were mentioning, provides a lot of other ways to be able to do other things besides just single sign-on. And what are some of those things that you guys have deployed with the tool sets?
I'm glad you asked. Because we're such a small IT department and we are really driven toward using tools, doing a lot of work on the back end to make the front end work very smooth. I mentioned we use ZenWorks a lot to apply consistent imaging policies and standardization to all of our desktops and laptops, etc. One of the things that we use Secure Login for, one is we can use it to identify errors that may happen and then automatically correct that problem. Because Secure Login is always sort of looking at the screen, if we get a help desk call and we notice that a big rollout push that we had, our rollouts are very, very successful, but you always have, seems like out of our 500 PCs that we manage approximately, the last major rollout we did, we had 3 computers that had an issue. That's not worth doing a whole lot about. But in some cases, you might recognize an issue for some reason in an environment as dynamic as ours, so to speak, that you can create an application in Secure Login to automatically heal a problem on the computer, if that makes any sense. So the other thing we use it for is certain user processes. For example, we have fingerprint auto-enrollment type of program. So we'll notice if they're not enrolling their fingerprint, if they keep canceling that out for some reason, and we get notified, we actually get emailed. So we use Secure Login to identify errors or things that come up or choices that users make so that we can become more proactive in our IT department. Instead of waiting for a phone call to hit us or a help desk ticket to come our way, we can actually call that user immediately and ask them if they need assistance, if they're having a problem, or whatever the case may be. We'll use it to automate certain processes of a rollout or a wrapper for assisting a user in making certain choices. So it's become very effective that way too.
Yeah, that's interesting to bring that up because I've talked to several customers who have deployed different type of approaches to the clinical area. That's one thing they mentioned is I can also click and navigate applications to the windows that they want to be at, or if I have a computer on wheels that I'm pushing around, I can actually auto-launch those applications for on behalf of the user, saving them some clicks, saving some time, and a lot of the other vendors can't. All of us can do single sign-on to an application. But it sounds like you're doing even beyond that with error handling and other exception handling, that it's more than just single sign-on, and that's fantastic.
What's interesting is once you start using the product, and of course you're using it for its intended purpose of designing scripts for logging into applications or noticing that the application is asking you to change your password because the 90 days has come up, for example, or whatever the case may be. Okay, you get all that work done, but by then, the language, I guess, or the scripting ability and the kinds of commands and feedback that you get with secure login, you realize quickly, I can use this for so much more and take care of so many problems out there that might come up, or guide the user in certain things that I need to guide them in, or on the really nasty workstation installs that, you know, the vendor doesn't provide decent MSI and they've got some funky setup with VBScript wrapper and it's just a crazy kind of install, you can use secure login to assist with that. One interesting way that I used it, just as an example, we use a particular program for doing our, what they call a super bill or a fee ticket electronically. So it's all done on the desktop or a laptop. And the way the program works is when you X out of the program, it doesn't actually close the program. It's still running on the SysTray. Now, if I double-click on the icon on the desktop again to launch the program again, all it does is come up with a window that says the application is already running. Now, I can tell you firsthand in the healthcare field, with the umpteen number of MAs that we have, you know, and the providers that we have, they don't necessarily know about the SysTray, and the message doesn't tell them that they need to relaunch it from the SysTray by right-clicking on the icon. So I use Secure Login to identify that that message popped up on the screen, and I automatically close it, and I just throw up a little picture on the screen that shows them to right-click on the icon down there and to pull it back up. Now, I could have just brought it back forward again, but I understand that the reason for having it run in the SysTray, it's a good reason. The makers of the program didn't do a good job of assisting the user in doing it, so I had to help them out and made my job a lot easier, a lot less help desk tickets on how come this won't run on my computer? It tells me it's already running. So
that's fantastic. Yeah, that's very clever. I remember one facility, one of the most popular applications the clinicians wanted was calculator. But as you know, you have to navigate for all these different menus. And we just set up a hotkey with DAS, just do like control K and up pop the calculator, and the nurses loved it.
Yeah.
It was amazing, you know, once you start looking at the clinical workflow, and that sounds like what you guys have looked at, more than just doing single sign-on, but also how can I improve them spending maybe less time on the computer, or say less frustrations that, as we all know, you know, physicians, just it's got to be easy, fast, simple.
Absolutely.
And you guys have done a lot.
Just with the password issues alone, we might get 2, maximum 3 a month out of all those employees.
And what was it before?
Dozens every week. No question about it. Just dozens. And then it was like, okay, we just helped this person yesterday. They're calling it back, you know, again today, because they don't remember what they said it to yesterday. You always have that factor too. So,
any other benefits that you've received from utilizing the secure login within your organization besides the, you know, kind of reduction help desk calls?
Shoot, just all those automation benefits. I don't know what else I could ask for out of this particular product. It's done more than what I really intended to use it for, and then some.
Now, you mentioned you deployed about 25 applications in your environment. A couple questions there. Did you have to make any changes to the applications, and then also, how long did that take you?
You mean changes to the application?
Yeah, was there anything you had to do to the applications in order to single sign-on enable them? Was there anything you had
to
change?
No, we use everything from Windows systems to web-based systems to the hospital system is a terminal emulation system still. They have some web front ends for different things, but the core of a lot of what the MAs will get into is still at a terminal emulation base, and Secure Login handles it all. So we didn't really have to change the applications any. We just had to model the scripts to work with them appropriately. We even worked with the hospital to expire accounts for us to require password resets, basically. So we were able to work with all the entities that we needed to get all the scripts written and figure out how they had to behave.
Oh, that's excellent. And how about how long did it take to deploy those 25 different applications? I know some of them probably took a little longer than others, but on average.
In general, once we really got rolling, it really only took a couple of months to get everything done. It's not a huge long process. It's just a matter of really rolling up your sleeves. Once you get it out there in your environment, your policy set, really it's just a matter of writing the apps, writing the scripts to handle what's going to pop up on the screen. And once you get started, it's really only a 2-month process. Now, on an end-user basis, in our organization, we don't give them a lot of flexibility. We have to sort of keep these workstations looking the same. people share these workstations, especially the tablets. So it's not like an office setting where I can allow a user to just remember whatever password they want to. We don't allow that. So it's more a controlled environment.
Now, not to put you on the spot, do you personally use Secure Login on your own laptop?
Absolutely. I've got the latest and greatest on there right now.
I do too. Yeah. I probably have 180 different passwords and IDs I store for my Windows or all my websites and everything else. But it sounds like you're using it personally.
I don't allow my end users really to start, whatever, because we've already got all their work done for them. And in the setting we're at and the computers changing hands, different people using them, we don't allow people to download, Yahoo bars and all this kind of stuff that they would like to do in a different environment, but I just have to totally restrict.
Right. So. And you don't want to manage their eBay accounts or...
No, big time no. Actually, we use Astaro for our firewall, and it's got great integration for Novell eDirectory, and so that works out fantastic for everything we need to do there.
With the new High Tech Act and some of the requirements around security and privacy and around some of the things that you want to do. How's that affect you as an organization? Is that sort of why you're looking at maybe doing identity management in your roadmap, or how are some of those stimulus dollars or other things affecting you as an organization and how you look at IT projects moving forward?
When I started down the biometric road with Secure Login and so forth, one of the other things we do is on certain apps, I will ask Secure Login before I supply the credentials for that app to re-verify their fingerprint. So it really helps me out there. So it allows me to make absolutely sure that the person who's accessing the EMR is that correct person and not someone else who just happens to be logged into that workstation. And then all that activity can get logged. Now, as far as high tech and HIPAA regulations go in the healthcare field, was it February 17th, I think, High Tech came out with some new guidelines that are pretty heavy-handed. It used to be just sort of an understanding of what we had to do, and there were some penalties and so forth, but there were no teeth. And all the healthcare industry did try to do as much as they could to ensure patient privacy, and there were definitely things they had to do to make sure that they did not release information inappropriately or even to a spouse inappropriately. Every patient has certain rights about where their healthcare information goes. But now there's some real teeth and some real fines that are coming into play now. Interestingly enough, if you look at the documentation for High Tech, they recognize the benefit of biometric. And in fact, what it does is it removes a couple layers of things that you are now supposed to do to keep track of where people go and what they do and the auditing measures involved and so forth. And I think in that approach, what they're trying to do is get people going on a multi-authentication process and to track who's accessing their records, because that is a big problem in the healthcare field when you don't have this kind of technology. The physicians give their passwords to their staff all the time. It happens. I mean, that's just a reality. And staff pass their passwords around, especially new staff who don't have their credentials set up or haven't been set up at the hospital system or something like that. So the staff member will say, well, just use mine because everybody's busy, so they don't have time and they want them to do this other task for them. So we really need to make sure that people who are accessing the records and are looking at the records are indeed the people that are doing it, and biometric or other multiple authentication processes provide that solution.
Well, Nick, I thank you so much for talking to us. I've been talking to Nick Ivan, the Director of Information Systems at Klock & Daughtry Medical Group. My name is Chris Beidling. I'm Director of Healthcare at Novell. And thank you, Nick. It's been great information. And hopefully our listeners will enjoy what you've had to say today.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.